Welcome to Speak Up, the podcast for high-performing introverts and ambiverts, where we reveal the charisma and communication secrets of A-listers. That's so you get the recognition and the opportunities that you deserve. Think of me as your middle communication godmother, coach, and strategist. And take note that we now release episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Yay! So today, with a musician, Drew Lawrence. This episode is for you. It's not about music, really. It's about the intersection of what it's like to create a hit song and the public speaking, because there's common ground there, and that's what we're going to pull out. This episode is for you, especially if you want to A, develop your creativity, B, massively boost your public speaking skill, or C, you want to be charismatic, but you think you're too quiet, or D, are curious about what it's like working in the pop music industry, because we're going to learn. Who knew that the factors that make a hit song actually have a lot in common with great public speaking? And that has to do with a lot of work in the right hemisphere of the brain. So our super special guest today, his name is Drew Lawrence, based in Los Angeles. He is a multi-platinum selling songwriter and recording artist signed with Warner Music. He is best known for his work with Christina Perri, including her international hit song, Jar of Hearts, and he's worked with a bunch of different artists. So we are talking as in the intersection of music writing and public speaking. We also take a look at Taylor Swift's career and the influence of, what is it, your top talent, or is it doing the work? So some of the takeaways from today include, as I mentioned, what a hit song and a moving spoken message have in common. Another takeaway would be, because he's not only a songwriter, he also helps people like develop their careers. And so this turns out that a lot of the things that musicians have to do to stand out in a very crowded market are the same things that a finance director, a senior engineering manager, a marketing manager, we can use the same principles to stand out in our sea of sameness of professionals like ourselves. He gives some examples of rehearsed charisma, and I thought it was a skill. I mean, I've always thought that, but it turns out some of the people that are famous for being charismatic, they're actually quiet in their home lives. We go into different ways you can bring a touch of the unexpected to your talk, which if I've coached you on public speaking, you know, the plot twist is the filet mignon of public speaking skills. And then, you know, why to keep saying yes. So welcome to the Speak Up with Laura Camacho podcast, and let's talk to Drew. Well, here we are again at the Speak Up with Laura Camacho podcast. And once again, I am bringing you someone spectacular, someone from a different industry, not a communication coach, but a musician. And he's actually skiing today. So Drew cares so much. He has taken a break from his vacation to come talk to us about the interesting ties between being a performer in music. And by the way, my husband is a professional violinist, classical violinist. So oh, wow. When I told him that you were a classically trained pianist that wrote pop music, he's like, well, that must be super easy for him. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'll find out. And Drew, you know, as you know, also helps people with public speaking. So welcome to the show, Drew, and tell us the story. You studied classical piano. How did you go to songwriting and then to being a speaker?
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here today. I started wanting to write songs when I was a teenager growing up in Seattle, listening to the grunge music of the time. And then Eddie Vedder came on the radio. I said, oh my gosh, I want to write songs and tell stories like Eddie Vedder, which led to me eventually getting into Berklee College of Music, where I studied every genre. So the grunge kid from Seattle is now learning classical music and jazz and bebop. And that was an amazing experience. Through it all, I decided that Los Angeles was going to be the spot where there'd be more opportunity. So I relocated to LA And my first dream was to be a performer. So I was out there performing open mics and performing on the Sunset Strip and putting bands together. And then I started saying yes to opportunities to write with people. And one thing led to another, and I realized I was writing with lots of people. And a few of the songs eventually started to get placed. I remember the first placement was on a CD released by Sony, and it was in a Best Buy store. And I was so excited that one of my songs was in a Best Buy store that my wife and I went out and celebrated. And when the check came, it was about enough to cover the dinner we had.
Well, that sounds like book royalties also. Yeah.
It wasn't much, but I kept hacking away at it, you know. And after about 6 or 7 years, one of the songs I co-wrote got placed on a television show. It got placed on So You Think You Can Dance. It ended up becoming a worldwide hit. And that's when everything broke open. That's when I signed a publishing deal and started going around the world working with artists, mostly in pop, but also in country and in rock, and some that were in R&B. So the spectrum was pretty wide and stylistically, but it all kind of fell under the popular music umbrella. And so I did that for 7 or 8 years in that pop hustle, and it was amazing. I met hundreds of new people a year that I worked with, wrote hundreds of songs per year. And there came a time where I was ready to move on. I had done it for 7 or 8 years, and I was also getting a little older, and a lot of the pop writers are in their 20s, and I was, you know, 10 years older, and that was the old guy in the room. I was like, what's next? And a mentor of mine said, well, now you're going to coach. You're going to coach people on what you do, and you're going to coach them on how to write songs, to take the stories from their lives and their experiences, the people they love, and turn them into songs. I said, well, that sounds fun. So I started doing that. And then through the process, I started working with people's voices more. And I really got passionate about helping people discover and develop their voice. And naturally, some people were interested in speaking, not just singing. That's when I kind of put out into the universe that, boy, I actually kind of have an interest in speaking too. And I'm in this mastermind group with Bo Eason. And one of the people in the group said, hey, you would be a great candidate for a TED Talk. I said, great, awesome, let's do it. So I did a TED Talk last year. One of the most rigorous experiences in planning and getting ready to perform. I learned a lot. And then since then, I've spoken to YPO groups. So now I'm also transitioning into speaking, and it's just been a fun journey throughout the whole process.
Great. Well, that's such an impressive story. And writing several hundred, or just even if you just did 100 songs in a year, that's a song every 3 days. I mean, that's a lot. So that's a lot of output. So what does it take for a pop music song of any genre to make money?
Boy, that's a great question. There's really two kinds of songs that I'm going to put this into two groups. You know, there's the songs that are really on time, meaning their production sounds like it's so new and you haven't heard it before. And those songs are usually their vehicle for a big pop artist, right? So almost like the artist is actually almost more of the hit than the song. Okay. So that's kind of more of the commerce side. Things that sound really cool and fresh and hip, and they have the right producer or artist performing them. The other group of songs that never goes away, and it's the people that are writing authentic stories, and they're just expressing themselves from their hearts, and they're not really concerned about the commerce. They're concerned about just writing something really honest. Those artists always shine through, and quite frankly, they end up winning in the long run because they have longer careers. And they get more of a cult following because it's authentic.
Right. It's just like in public speaking. I mean, you feel like you're talking, communicating, or reaching a real person. Before we go on into the public speaking side and standing out, I want to understand something about Taylor Swift. Like probably eight or nine years ago, I bought a ticket from one of my daughters to go hear her in Columbia, South Carolina. It was under $100. It was a big deal, but it was not like it is today. Like you have to get on a list. You have to shell out $1,000 minimum. Like explain to our audience, like what is the deal with Taylor Swift?
First and foremost, one thing I love to point out about Taylor Swift is that she, speaking about voices here, she actually has a relatively average voice. She was born with just a voice that's not too different than many of the people that are listening to this. What sets her apart is how hard she works. She put in so many reps that she developed a somewhat average voice into a completely professional vehicle for her songs and her stories, and has become arguably the biggest pop star on the planet. And I think that's absolutely fascinating, because it really makes you question whether it's being born with talent or it's the hard work that you can actually develop into something like Taylor Swift. But I think she's a great, inspiring role model for people that maybe aren't born with, you know, the big, huge, powerful voice. And then her songwriting falls more into the category, the second category I was talking about, where she's just writing these stories, and that's how she feels, and it's from her heart, and her fans love it. Speaking of her fans, she has masterfully brought them along in this journey, and she's really brought them in with her marketing so that they feel that they're part of her journey. They're part of her whole experience. So it's really an interactive experience for her fans. And then lastly, she's sprinkled in, as we all know, she went from a country artist into this pop megastar. So she also followed some smart direction in her production. So it's the team, it's the reps and the hard work, and it's the authenticity. And I think those would be three takeaways.
Yeah, and those segue perfectly into a business environment. I mean, if you want to build a high-performing team, you want to achieve a goal, those are the things that you need. And that's what people, they want to follow a leader who has something to say that's not just copy-paste. It's not just ChatGPT. Like, it's something, there's a there. And in fact, I heard one analyst of the Taylor Swift that her songs speak to specifics. And that's something that I'm always telling my clients in their messaging, like, to be specific, give a specific example. Don't just say, you know, we need to work harder. No, like, what exactly do you mean? And that specific is terrific. We connect to specific, even though you think it's kind of a misnomer to think that, well, if I'm general, that will apply to everybody, but that's super boring. And you just put people to sleep if you're general. Would you agree?
100%. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. So you wrote an article about standout, separating your songs from the rest of the pack. So what did that mean for your audience, and how does that apply to other domains?
You know, once again, it really comes back to not being concerned so much about the commerce and really focusing first on the messaging. So from in a more of a business setting, it's focused more on making sure you're doing something great with your product before you're so buried and trying to get it out there. Really take that extra time to put heart into it and to make sure that it's authentic, and really try to put yourself in a situation where you're seeing how our people are going to respond to it and how it's going to help them in their lives, and create greatness first and go for that. And I tell everybody who comes to work with me, like, let's just keep digging deeper for greatness. Let's not settle.
But what does that mean? What do you mean, dig deeper for greatness? Like, what does that mean?
That's a great question. I think it's really asking yourself, so in the form of a song, is there any filler here? Is there any line that's redundant? Is anything too cliche? And I think, and so in a business setting, we can think about all those principles as well, just like
absolutely
a song.
Absolutely.
Just like a song.
Any presentation, like when you say, I don't know, let's circle back, and I'm, you know, just all the cliches.
A song is really, it's the protein. It's such a short amount of space. When you read lyrics, it's like a poem. It's cutting the fat and really, really getting into the protein of what it is you're doing and simplifying. So then you ask, so what is the greatest part of it? It's not just being simple. It's making sure there's a ton of substance in that simple, lean model.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us an example?
Yeah, well, oftentimes people will just come with, they've been writing on their own, they'll come with like a whole page worth of content, and I'll have to tell them, hey, there's actually two or three songs here. A song can simply just be a moment in time. It doesn't have to be a narrative that follows a big chronological order that starts with once upon a time. And I'll say, let's actually dig into this and see, where is the moment? Where's the emotion? Where's the pivotal moment of the story? And that's going to be the hook. And then we start getting rid of all the rest of it and choosing the best little vignettes, because you have to have some storytelling, but it's really about consolidating it and cutting the fat.
I'm so glad you brought up emotional connection, because I was thinking that that is what music does. Like, music to me communicates something that words can't. There's that emotion behind it in the song, in the musical part, that does touch us emotionally. And that's what a good talk does. And that's what an inspiring leader does, is touch people, connect emotionally. So did you find that helped you in your TED Talk?
Absolutely. And first, I want to say too, as you mentioned, your husband's a professional violinist. So you know that even an instrumental piece of music can just move us profoundly. So cool about songwriting, it's like a double whammy, because you already have this emotional musical piece, and then you're putting a story on top of it. With the TED Talk, my mentor kept telling me she wanted me to sing. And I was thinking, well, I'm trying to go into public speaking here. I sing all the time on stage. Like, I don't want to sing. And she said, you know, I want you to be bold. And I think this is a good coaching for anybody listening. You know, stand out from the rest. What's going to be unexpected? This relates to songwriting too. What's going to be unexpected? What's going to be bold? In my case, I came out and I asked the folks in the audience if they minded if I sang a song that I wrote a few years ago. Some of them might know it, some of them might not. And I went into singing Jar of Hearts, and that's how I started the TED Talk. So that's how I connected with the audience, by using the song, ironically, as a hook for my talk. And if you don't sing and you don't write songs, it's like, what else can you do that's going to catch people's attention that's just different?
Absolutely. I love that. I think of it as the plot twist. Like, we don't want to know, you know, that 1 + 1 = 2. We already know that. We want to know, like, how did it almost not make it to 2? Or what was the thing that you almost couldn't make it? Or somehow that there was something unexpected. That's how you get that emotional. That's what the basis of humor is also.
You brought up something really important. You also brought up humor. And it made me think, so here we are talking about, oh, be funny and sing and be charismatic. You know, and a lot of people think, well, that's just not me. I'm not the center of the attention. I'm not the star of the party. I'm not like really, so some people don't think they're interesting or that they're fun. And, you know, I just want to point out here that some of the most charismatic people I know are actually quite quiet. They're actually introverts. They rehearse their charisma. And I want people to know who are listening to this, that it's all rehearsed. Even the late, great Robin Williams, who just seemed to just explode with this extemporaneous genius, like when he'd be on one of those talk shows, like with David Letterman or whatnot, and he rehearsed it all numerous times. And this is what I learned from the TED Talk too. It is rehearsal, reps, writing. You would be surprised. Some of your favorite comedians are quiet people. Their spouses would say, yeah, they're not very outgoing. They're not like super interesting all the time. So this stuff is learned. It's rehearsed. People create the image, and it's really something anybody can do. You know, some people are a little more outgoing, of course, but I'm telling you, it's something that can be cultivated. It's not just something that you're just magically given power.
Right. I'm so glad you said that, because it is an advantage. I mean, if you have the gift of the gab in, you know, life, that's an advantage, but you're absolutely right. You can cultivate it. And I think that cultivated charisma, meaning more intentional and rehearsed in the reps, is actually better, because sometimes naturally charismatic people talk about themselves a little bit, and sometimes a lot too much. I had a very good friend who could make a trip to the vending machine sound like an epic adventure, you know, but sometimes it's like, well, yeah, time out. Yeah, we've heard about your stories. They have a hard time realizing that they've been talking too much. Whereas if you're cultivating this charisma, practicing, you're going to, you know, tell your stories or your jokes or connect with people, but you're not going to be going on and on and on and on about yourself, because that's just not your habit, right?
That's such a good point. You know, sometimes I'll be writing something for a talk, and I'll show my wife, and she'll be like, yeah, it's a little bit too much me in there. And I'll be like, oh, gosh, you're right. I need to be thinking about the audience. I need to bring them into it. This needs to be about their experience, not just about look at me. And I'm always cautious about that. But to your point, then it gets rewritten so that it's better. So
Yes. So tell us about what you're doing to build your public speaking career.
As I mentioned, I'm speaking at a few masterminds, and oftentimes these are unpaid opportunities just to get in front of people and to hone your skills. And I've also been doing some workshops for a YPO organization and a young president's organization. And that's been really, there have been amazing opportunities because it's forced me to, when I get an opportunity in the books, it's like, okay, now it's time to really write, rewrite, rehearse, and get a message. And it really, it's similar to my songwriting career. It's about saying yes to any opportunity and get yourself in front of people. And even if it's getting a few people to come to your living room and listen to the message you're hoping to get out and getting their feedback, signing up for doing a 10X talk is a great idea.
This has been very interesting, Drew. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. And we'll catch everyone in the next episode.
All right. That was so interesting. Thank you for being here, being a part of this. Please leave us a podcast review. I just want to read one of the more recent podcast reviews from Stacy of A Southern Discourse. And she says, whether from her podcast or her in-person sessions, Laura's knowledge and insight is a must for professional and personal development. I always learn something that pushes me to grow in important ways that I never would have on my own. Thanks, Laura. Well, thank you, Stacy. And thank you all for listening. I want to remind you that our sponsor is the new tool called Speak Up 360. It's leadership development designed for highly conscientious senior leaders, and it focuses exclusively on high impact communication skills. With Speak Up 360, you get a comprehensive, customized 360 degree feedback on all aspects of executive presence, influence, meeting behavior, and public speaking. You'll get a personalized roadmap to get even better using the insights from your peers, subordinates, and superiors. The tool also will identify your specific strengths, address actionable areas for improvement, and excel in key leadership dimensions. So that's a shout out to our sponsor, and everybody have a great day, and I will catch you on the next episode.